ஓம் பத்ரங்கண்ணே விஷ்ணுயாம தேவாஹ பத்ரம் பஶ்யேமாக்ஷபர்யஜத்ராஹ ஸ்திரைரங்கைஹ ஸ்துஷ்டுவாகும்ஸஸ்தனூபிஹ வ்யஷேம தேவஹிதய்யதாயுஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந இந்திரோ வ்ருத்தஶ்ரவாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந பூஷா விஸ்வவேதாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தார்க்ஷ்யோ அரிஷ்டநேமிஹி ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹி. லெட் அஸ் ரீட் தி முண்டகோபநிஷத். ஓம் ரீட் ஆல் தி மந்த்ராஸ் ஒன்ஸ். ஓம் ப்ரஹ்மா தேவானாம் ப்ரதம சம்பபோவ விஸ்வஸ்ய கர்த்தா புவனஸ்ய கோப்தா சப்ரஹ்ம வித்யாம் சர்வ வித்யா ப்ரதிஷ்டாம் அதர்வாய ஜ்யேஷ்ட புத்ராய ப்ராஹ அதர்வணேயாம் ப்ரவதேத ப்ரஹ்மா அதர்வாதம் புரோ வாச அங்கிரே ப்ரஹ்ம வித்யாம் சபாரத்வாஜாய சத்யவாஹாய ப்ராஹ பாரத்வாஜோங்கிரசே பராபராம் ஷௌனகோஹவை மஹாஷாலஹ அங்கிரசம் விதிவதுபசன்ன பப்ரச்ச கஸ்மின் பகவோ விஜ்ஞாதே சர்வமிதம் விஜ்ஞாதம் பவதீதி தஸ்மை சஹோவாச வே வித்யே வேதிதவ்யே இதிஹஸ்மயஜ்ஞ யத் ப்ரஹ்ம விதோ வதந்தி பராச்சைவாபராச்ச தத்ராபரா ருக்வேதோ யஜுர்வேத சமவேதோர்வவேத சமவேதோ தர்வவேதஹ சிக்ஷா கல்போ வ்யாகரணம் நிருக்தம் சந்தோ ஜோதிஷமிதி அத பராயயா ததக்ஷரமதிகம்யதே யத் ததத்ரேஷமக்ராஹ்யமகோத்ரமவர் அவர்ணமச்சுஸ்ரோத்ரம் ததபாணி பாதம் நித்யம் விபும் சர்வகதம் சுசூக்ஷ்மம் ததவ்யயம் ப்ரஹ்மயோனிம் பரிபஷ்யந்தி தீராஹ யதோர்ணநாபிஸ்ருஜதே க்ருண்ணதே ச யதா ப்ருத்விவ்யாம் ஓஷதயஃ ஸம்பவந்தி யதா சதஃ புருஷாத் கேஷலோமானி ததாக்ஷரா சம்பவதீஹ விஸ்வம். Seen until this verse. தபஸா சீயதே ப்ரஹ்ம ததோ நமபிஜாயதே அன்னாத் ப்ராணோ மனஸ் சத்யம் லோகாஹ் கர்மசு சாம்ருதம். Repeat it. தபஸா சீயதே ப்ரஹ்ம ததோ நமபிஜாயதே அன்னாத் ப்ராணோ மனஸ் சத்யம் லோகாஹ் கர்மசு சாம்ருதம். The previous mantra, I said the sixth mantra, sixth, seventh, eighth, all these are very beautiful and important mantras. The sixth mantra, we understood, the swarupam of the Atma or Brahma. The seventh mantra, he discussed how the Brahman is the cause of the universe. And as I said, whenever Brahman is presented as the Jagat Karanam, Upanishad does not really establish that Brahman as the Karanam. This is only a prakriya. Brahman presenting the reality of Brahman as the cause of the universe is actually a method of unfoldment. By way of presenting Brahman as the cause of the universe, Upanishad is going to teach us that universe being effect, it is not different from the cause, Brahman. Ultimately, Brahman is presented as the cause, universe is said to be the effect, not to establish the cause and effect system, but to say that there is neither cause nor effect. What this is only Brahma. To teach us that there is neither cause nor effect, what is only Brahma. So the methodology, Karanakarya Prakriya, the method of analyzing the cause and the effect, is only to help us arrive at what Brahman is. To arrive at the nature of Brahman being existence. And later on, Upanishad will make it very clear that existence is nothing but consciousness. Therefore, methodology, the method is used. Brahman is presented as the Jagat Karanam. And we saw the previous mantra, last, I think, Yatha Urnanabhihi Sujate Grinnate Cha. That mantra teaches very clearly Brahman is both material cause and the intelligent cause of the universe. Nimitta Karanam means efficient cause or intelligent cause. And Upadana Karanam means material cause. Any product involves two causes. And here, with reference to this entire cause, entire universe, both the causes are nothing but Brahman, is absolute reality implied by the term Atma or Brahma. That is what we understand. This jagat is non-separate from Brahma. But now we are going to see the next 8 mantra today. Tapasa chiyate brahma. I am coming to the class, today's class. Tapasa chiyate brahma. Tato nama bhijayate. Annat prano manas satyam. Lokah karma suchamritam. As I mentioned in my previous class, when I introduced this mantra, I already said the entire universe, if you look at it as the creation, the entire universe is looked upon as the creation, then we have to remember the fact that the creation does not happen suddenly. It takes very long time. Long time in a sense, creation involves different stages. I gave the example of the seed, bijam. When the seed is sown, how it takes time for that sprout which comes out of the seed to become a full-fledged tree with the strong, very strong trunk and strong branches and twigs and leaves and flowers, etc. And to become a big tree, there are so many stages in between the seed stage, seed condition and the full-fledged tree condition. Between there are many stages. Similarly here also, Bhagavan says in this mantra, it states everything, the entire creation does not happen overnight, but there's too many stages involved. Why we are born? There is a karma, parabdha karma phalam, because of which we are born here. And part of the karma phalam also, we have both punyam and papam. And a punyam becomes a cause of enjoyment of pleasure, time-bound pleasure. And a papam becomes the cause of enjoyment of time-bound pain. So anyway, it is the punya papam alone, part of the karma phalam alone, contributes for the birth. So any papa we have in our account becomes experience of misery, pain, and punyam is responsible for our time-bound enjoyment of time-bound pleasure. And for both, who is the ordainer of punya phalam and papa phalam, the bestower of the results of actions, the bestower of the result of righteous action, punya karma, the result of the wrong action. All these results are ordained by Bhagavan Ishwaraha. In fact, the cause of karma, cause of punyam, cause of papam, and cause of all the laws, all of them actually originate from Ishwara. Bhagavan is the only cause. So, tapasa chiyate brahma means Ishwaraha, the only cause of punyam and papam, the only ordainer of the results of punya papa in terms of pleasure and pain, the only source and cause of everything, Ishwara. Ishwara also remains resolved at the time of a deluge, at the time of pralaya, at the time of total dissolution of the universe. In pralaya kala, even Ishwara is there. Ishwara is there. Ishwara remains resolved. Therefore, then Ishwara is there without the status of being the cause of the universe. So what happens to Ishwara at the time of deluge, at the time of total dissolution of everything in the world? Everything resolves, even Ishwara's status resolves. There's no Ishwara, there's no Jagat, there's no individual. Jiva Jagat Ishwara. Without any difference at the time of deluge, without any this difference, everything remains resolved at the time of deluge. So when everything remains resolved, means everything remains in the first seat, even so-called Ishwara is like the unmanifest. Ishwara is like the bijam. Ishwara is like the bijam, the seed, during the time of deluge, at the time of deluge or pralaya kala. Okay, so Ishwara also remains resolved at the time of deluge. Don't think that why I'm simply dragging. I have to tell you how the creation comes into existence. Because how it doesn't happen overnight. How slowly the creation comes into existence. That is what is discussed here. So, at the time of total dissolution, deluge, everything remains resolved, including Ishwara's status. Even Ishwara remains resolved. Ishwara also is resolved. Ishwara's status, qualification is resolved. The universe is resolved. Every individual is resolved. Everything is resolved here. That is, okay. Then when everything is resolved, everything is unmanifest. And when the time of manifestation comes, slowly the creation has to come into existence then. Much longer before the evolution of the universe. What happened to Ishwara? Even Ishwara also remains remained, even Ishraha also remains like a bijam. Even Ishvara remains like a bijam seed during pralaya, during pralaya means at the time of dissolution, resolution. So much longer before the evolution, Ishvara also is in the form of a seed, bijam, at the time of dissolution. Therefore, when the unmanifest has to become manifest, what happens? Before the creation, just before this universe comes into existence, Ishraha becomes ready. Ishraha becomes ready for manifestation, for this creation. Just before the time for manifestation arrives, Ishraha becomes ready for this creation. When you say Ishraha becomes ready for creation, what it means is that Bhagavan, Ishvaraha, the creator of the universe, the cause of the universe, is also creator of the universe, because maker and the material both are Ishvara. So Ishvara visualizes the creation. Before Ishvara becomes ready, there's a visualization on the part of Ishvara, visualization of the universe. Did really Ishvara visualize the universe? No. Upanishad presents as though Bhagavan visualizes this creation. As the Bhagavan visualizes the creation. As though. So for that we have to remember example. Whoever creates something, produces something, manufactures something, before one starts doing something, always we have the habit of preparing. Preparing means we make a proper plan of the creation. So Ishvara makes the, whoever creates anything, whether or not an artist creates something, a painting or carving or any other work, before creating something, producing something or manufacturing something, anyone should make a proper plan of what one is going to produce. In the same way, all our samashti prarabdha karma phalam, all the karma phalams, all the results of all beings, all the karma phalani become ready when all the karma phalani become ready, it is then there is some change happens on the part of Maya, the power of the reality. What is the change that happens? that as though as if there is some bloating. Just as seed bulges, so also Maya bulges. I mean, Maya, as if it is bloats, as if it is bloating. You need a mind to think, to entertain thoughts. For Ishra also to visualize the creation and to plan the creation much before its manifestation. All the unexhausted prarabdha karma phalam becomes ready. And all the karma phalas getting ready for fructification in the Maya aspect of Ishra alone is said to be bulging or bloating. We are endowed with the mind, therefore we can think, we can know. Similarly here, mind is important for us to think. Similarly, even for Ishvara to visualize, he needs a mind. What is the mind of Ishvara? Maya, the power of Ishvara, otherwise known as Maya, is Maya alone. Maya is the mind of Ishvara. Just as we have got our own minds, similarly, Ishvara's mind is nothing but Maya. So we are supposed to visualize any thinking, any visualization of anything or the entire universe involves, any visualization involves thoughts. And here, as though there is visualization taking place. Okay? When the karmas are ready for fructification, when the change happens in the part of Maya, and visualization also happens. Not really, as though visualization happens. And this understanding, this as though the visualization happens, as if there is visualization, and this alone is said to be Ishvara Sankalpaha. Ishvara Sankalpaha. Ishvara's thinking. Maya is Ishvara's mind. Maya is looked upon as Ishvara's mind. And then there is visualization. Happens. There is visualization. And this visualization is said to be Ishvara Sankalpaha, Bhagavat Sankalpaha. So the mantra states, tapasa brahma chiyate, or tapasa chiyate brahma. So when there is tapasa, is important word tapasa means, tapas is visualization, tapasa. By visualizing or through visualization, tapasa means through visualization, brahma chiyate, means, what does it mean, Brahma Chiyate? Aksharam Brahma Arishwaraha. Brahma means Aksharam Brahma Arishwaraha. Bhagavan, the imperishable reality, otherwise is said to be Ishwaraha. Brahma Chiyate means Bhagavan, Brahman, the reality in the form of Ishwara extends or expands as though there is expansion of Ishwara. Chiyate means expands. Brahma Chiyate means as though Brahman expands. As though Brahman expands. So, when Upanishad says, Brahman expands, Chiyate Brahma, Tapasa Chiyate Brahma, means Brahman expands as though through visualization. So, Brahman expands through visualization. It's the literal meaning of the first sentence. Tapasa Chiyate Brahma. Chiyate expands. Who expands? Brahma Chiyate. The reality, absolute reality, obtaining as one's own self is Brahma. And the Chiyate expands. Brahma Chiyate. Through how? Through visualization. Tapasa. Tapasa through visualization. Brahma Chiyate. So here the word Brahman actually implies the absolute reality, the Aksharam Brahma, the imperishable reality. We should not take it literally. As though this Brahman in obtaining in the name of Ishwara is expanding as it were. So here the Brahman visualizing, becoming big, etc. should not be literally taken. Should not be taken literally. There's no such thing called expansion at all, really speaking. There's no such thing called real expansion or anything. There's no expansion. We should not take it literally. So this Maya obtaining in Brahma, getting prepared for manifestation, getting ready for expansion, ready for manifestation. So this Brahman getting ready for manifestation alone is said to be expansion, chayanam. So Brahma Chiyate means we should not treat little Brahma. How can Brahman expand? Brahman is the absolute reality, all pervasive reality. There's nothing which is not Brahman. Therefore, tapas Brahma Chiyate means the Brahman expands. Means the expansion of Brahman should not be taken literally. What it implies is Bhagavan Ishwaraha is Aksharam. And there's expansion. So getting prepared for manifestation is said to be expansion, chayanam. So even in day-to-day life, nothing can happen overnight. Nothing can happen suddenly. Nothing in a sense, no production, no manufacturing, no creation can be done without taking any time. Always creation means time is involved. Of course, space is involved. Therefore, we should not take it literally. It's getting ready for manifestation alone is said to be expansion. It means Bhagavan Ishwaraha becomes prepared for the manifestation of the world or ready for projecting the world. And then we have other expression, tapasa chiyate brahma. Tapasa chiyate brahma, we have seen. What is tapasa chiyate brahma? Tataha annam abhijayate. Tataha annam abhijayate. Tapasa chiyate brahma. Tataha annam abhijayate. So, tataha annam, tato annam abhijayate, tato annam abhijayate. Tataha annam abhijayate. The word, there is a word, this is annam literally means food. But here, the annam, even in Taittiriya Upanishad, we will see this. The word annam actually means the karana prapancha in this mantra. The word annam in this mantra means karana prapancha. Karana prapancha means what? The universe in unmanifest, undifferentiated causal condition. The universe in unmanifest, undifferentiated causal condition alone is said to be annam. Which means the universe tataha annam abhijayate. So first, there is Ishvara becomes ready for manifestation. That getting ready for manifestation alone is said to be expansion, chayanam. Then what happens? Only when Ishvara becomes ready, then the universe obtaining in the causal, unmanifest, undefined condition becomes ready for manifestation, ready for evolution. The karana prapanchaha becomes ready for evolution. The universe in causal condition becomes ready for evolution. Abhijayate, tataha annam abhijayate means thereafter, when Ishvara becomes ready for manifestation of the universe, then only expansion, then the universe in causal condition becomes ready for evolution. So annam does not mean food. Annam here means the universe in the unmanifest universe becomes ready for manifestation, evolution. Okay. Tataha annam abhijayate. Thereafter what happens? Annat pranaha. Annat pranaha. So the word pranaha. Pranaha literally means what? Pranaha literally means the life. That which lends life. So the life principle, pranaha actually means the life principle. Life principle becomes evolved. So pranaha here means what? What is the life principle? Actually, the subtle, sukshma prapanchaha. Means hiranyagarbha. So pranaha here means hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha means what? The entirety of subtle universe. Entirety of subtle aspects. The word pranaha implies life principle. And life principle, pranaha, there's evolution of prana. Evolution of prana means this evolution of Hiranyagarbha. Evolution of Hiranyagarbha means evolution of the subtle aspects, the entirety of subtle aspects. So pranaha should not be taken literally as physiological function here. The word pranaha does not mean simply a prana. So the pranaha stands for the entirety of subtle aspects. The totality of subtle aspects, otherwise said to be Hiranyagarbha, Samashti Sukshma Prapanchaha. So first we have to remember Tapasa Brahmachiyate means Ishvara. The Brahmachiyate means Ishvara becomes ready for projecting the world, which is said to be expansion. Thereafter, when Ishvara gets ready for projecting the world, for manifestation of the world, then Maya there expands as it were, which is said to be Annam Abhijayate, which means unmanifest universe becomes ready for evolution. The unmanifest universe becomes ready for evolution. As I said, it's all as though ready, getting ready for evolution. Thereafter, Hiranya or Pranaha, after that Pranaha, the entirety of subtle aspects become ready. Ready means what? They all become evolved. Pranaha. Tataha anavijayate annat pranaha. From that unmanifest universe in causal condition, pranaha, the entirety of the subtle universe or subtle aspects evolves. Then that's what it said, manaha. Manaha. So here the word mind literally means mind, but here the manaha stands for the entirety, the knowledge of the omniscience, the knowledge of everything. The word manaha here means the totality of, the entirety of the intelligence, entirety of the knowledge evolves. So first, all subtle aspects, otherwise said to be Hiranyagarbha, evolves. Thereafter, manaha, the entirety of the knowledge. Knowledge which is required for knowledge backing, knowledge involved in all the functions. The knowledge, not only one simple knowledge of everything. The intelligence, the knowledge involved in all the functions. Therefore, the entirety of the knowledge, intelligence evolves. When does it evolve? Before there's a total mind, the totality of the entirety of the knowledge evolves. Only then there must be that there must be multiplication or division of one. The entirety of the total intelligence has to become multiplied into many, many, many individual minds. This one total mind with total knowledge, total intelligence, thereafter it has to become what? Then many divided individual minds. It's not really, the creation does not take place really like this. It's only prakriya. What mantra says, I'm telling you here. Therefore, there are many stages involved in like this. Okay, so the entirety of the subtle aspects as Hiranyagarbha evolves. Thereafter, entirety of the knowledge evolves, which alone becomes later on divided into many, many minds. And this manaha and pranaha together, entirety of the subtle aspects and the knowledge, entirety of the knowledge together constitute what? Hiranyagarbha. And this totality, the entirety of subtle aspects, always said to be Hiranyagarbha, the entirety of the knowledge alone is said to be Sutratma. Sutratma. Hiranyagarbha is otherwise said to be, so Pranaha is equal to Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha alone is said to be Sutratma. So the Sutratma is a technical name used in the Shastram. So Hiranyagarbha means what? Entirety of the subtle aspects. The entirety of the knowledge constitute Hiranyagarbha. The Hiranyagarbha is meant by the term Pranaha and Manaha, which is otherwise said to be Sutratma. Sutratma is not used here. Generally, it's a technical term used in the Shastra. Then, afterward, what? We have to see the next word. Tapasa chiyate brahma tato namabhijayate annat pranaha manaha. No satyam. We have to see next is satyam. So here, this term Satyam stands for five elements. Completely different meanings, okay? The word Satyam literally means the truth, the reality. But here, the word Satyam means five elements. Five elements. How can you understand Satyam as five? Satyam means five elements. If we had to break the word Satyam, the word Satyam, if you break, we get two components of the word Satyam. Sat and Tyat. Sat and Tyat. Sat and Tyat. Together constitute Satyam. Sat means perceptible elements, the gross elements. Sat stands for gross perceptible elements and Tyat stands for subtle imperceptible elements. Sat stands for five gross elements, perceptible elements. Tyat stands for five imperceptible subtle elements. What are they? Totally, let us see. The perceptible elements. Perceptible elements are earth, water, and fire. Of the five elements, the perceptible elements are perceptions which can be seen. Prithivi, earth, apaha, water, agnihi, fire. Three are elements which can be perceived, which can be seen. Elements which can be seen are meant by the word Sat. Earth, water and fire are elements which can be seen, perceptible elements. They are meant by the word Sat, the component Sat. Why they are meant by the word Sat? Because these elements are elements can be seen. These elements which can be seen, which are visible, are meant by the word Sat, meant by the component Sat. Then, two more elements. Air and space. Air, Vayuhu, Akashaha, the space. These two elements are meant by the component Tyat. Therefore, three elements which can be seen and two elements which cannot be seen. So visible elements and invisible elements. Three visible elements, two invisible elements together constitute five elements are meant by this one expression satyam. By these two components of the word satyam, sat and tyat. Okay. Sat and tyat together form the word satyam. In fact, this another expression also is there. So satyam means Murta Bhutani, Amurta Bhutani means the visible elements and the invisible elements. Five elements are meant by the word satyam. And here, the five elements also are of two conditions. That is, the subtle elements and the gross elements. Pancha Bhutani, five elements also of two conditions, that is subtle elements and the gross elements. So first, the elements have subtle state, always said to be Sukshma Avastha. The five elements, first, they are in subtle condition, subtle state, known as Sukshma Avastha. The elements have Sukshma Avastha. Thereafter, we learned Tattva Bodha. Something, the grossification takes place. Grossification, otherwise we Panchikaranam. When the Panchikaranam, the grossification takes place, then we also have Sthula Avastha of the elements. The gross state of the elements, gross condition of the elements. So we have Sukshma Bhutani, subtle elements, after grossification called Panchikaranam. We also have Sthula Bhutani, gross elements. And that we have understood already in the basic text, Tattva Bodha. So then after Panchabhutas, now you have to remember, first tapasa brahma chiyate, then tataha annam abhijayate, tataha, then pranaha, then manaha, then satyam. Now from the five elements. The elements also, it's not mentioned here, we have to understand the subtle elements go through grossification. The process of grossification, then we have gross elements. Thereafter, lokaha. Next word is what? Lokaha. Satyam, lokaha. Then lokaha. Lokaha means 14 worlds. Chaturdasha bhavanani. 14 worlds. 14 worlds means what? The 14 lokaha is equal to 14 worlds. Lokaha means a realm of experience. Lokaha means that which is seen is lokaha. That which is experienced is lokaha. Therefore, a realm of experience is called lokaha. So there are 14 realms of experience. And in these 14 lokas, Chaturdasha Bhavanani, we all possible beings of all kinds, all possible beings of all kinds, living and non-living, all beings also come into existence in these worlds. So you can see next verse is what? Lokaha, satyam lokaha, karma sucha amritam. So all beings come into existence. Then when all beings come into existence means, of all the beings, of all the living beings, human beings are the most sophisticated beings. And human beings are said to be the most sophisticated, the most superior of all the beings, because of, first because of the knowledge of self-existence, self-consciousness. The knowledge of self-existence in terms of self-consciousness, in terms of I am. A human being alone is endowed with the knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am. Reason number one, okay? This is one important factor. Then, and a human being alone is blessed with the intelligence, blessed with the power of intellection to know. Human being is blessed with the power of intellection or intellect to be able to know what is there also. And a human being alone is endowed with the free will. All other living beings are programmed. They do not have free will. They do not have any choice over actions. They're programmed. Whereas human being is blessed with the free will. So the free will is something which can be operated only in the human body. Therefore, human being is superior because he's endowed with the self-consciousness, he's blessed with the free will, he's blessed with the power of intellection to attain knowledge, to gain more knowledge, to know the, to have knowledge of the world also. And human being alone is blessed with the organ of speech. Organ of speech, human being alone can communicate. Of course, other animals also communicate their own way. That's a different thing. So because human being is blessed with the organ of speech, he's able to communicate. Thereby, he's able to transfer his knowledge, share his wisdom, share his knowledge. Because of these reasons, human being is said to be the most sophisticated of all the living beings. Therefore, human being alone has what now? Because he has free will, he has knowledge of right and wrong, has knowledge of self-existence, he alone can what? Earn punyam and papam. Punyam and papam. Karma sucha amrutam. I'm going to tell you that now. Next. He alone is capable of accumulating punyam or papam. Therefore, when a person is blessed with the free will and knowledge of right and wrong, and his capacity to communicate with an organ of speech, naturally, human being, as the most sophisticated being, is capable of accumulating punya papam, karmani. Okay? Karmani, he means all right and wrong actions. Right and wrong actions means contributive, constructive, productive actions, and wrong actions means destructive, damaging, okay, destructive, damaging, wrong actions, right and wrong actions, punyam and papam. When he performs the right action, that right action produces punyam and wrong action produces papam. This is how punya papa also come into existence because of manushya, because of human being. And now finally, one word was a karmasu, then amritam. Amritam actually means the result of actions. So right and wrong actions which produce punyam and papam, and the translation of punyam and papam, when the punyam and papam get translated into pain, pleasure and pain, sukham and dukkham, that results of right and wrong actions, the punya papa results in terms of experience of pleasure and pain, he said to me, what? Amritam. The word Amritam means the results of actions. Results of right and wrong actions. So all the results of all our actions, the right actions and wrong actions, the desirable, undesirable results, all of them remain latent, remain dormant, remain unmanifest. So whatever pain and pleasure is going to come later on, that remains already unmanifest. That remains dormant. It waits for, any punya papam wait for the right time to become fructified. To wait for the fructification. Wait for the right time to become fructified. For amritam, how long do the punya papams remain? Okay, one, to exhaust the punya papam, you have to be born. Once you born, you again accumulate punya papam. Again accumulate punya papam. Therefore, it's going to be until knowledge takes place, the punya papams will remain one's account timelessly. Beginninglessly, endlessly, punya papams will remain, the results of actions will remain in one's account. Timelessly, eternally, they will remain. Therefore, the results of right and wrong actions, the punya papa phalam, the translation of punya papa results, are meant by the word amritam. Why? Because the results of actions are always there. Always there. Because you already have your punya papam in dormant condition. You exhaust them. When you to exhaust your bond, again you do new punya, you do karma, again you earn punya papam. The results of actions always are there in one's account, timelessly. Therefore, the result of action is implied by the term amritam. So what Upanishad wants to say here, everything comes into existence from Brahma. Okay. That is Ishvara gets ready for projecting the world. Then Maya becomes ready for evolution, which otherwise said to be expansion. Then all subtle aspects come into existence. Thereafter knowledge also comes into existence. And this total knowledge and total subtle aspects constitute Hiranyagarbha. Thereafter the elements and subtle and interesting subtle, the perceptible, imperceptible, visible, invisible elements come. And the elements again are of two states, subtle elements and gross elements. After grossification are gross elements, then from the elements come into being the all beings. Of all the beings, human beings are superior beings, and superior beings, human beings come into existence means, and because of them there comes what? Punya papam, results of right and wrong actions. Then, and they are said to be amritam, because they are timelessly there. This is how the entire Brahman becomes the cause of the entire universe. We should not take it very seriously, this verse. It's not exactly, this is the order in the Upanishad presents the creation. It's only simple methodology. What is implied is the nothing which has come into existence from elsewhere. Whatever has come into existence, the source of everything is only reality, Brahma. This is what is, each word has its own technical meaning here, okay? Literal meaning you all know. Karma, satyam, you know the literal meanings. But here we have to take the meaning of each word differently. In between I was very sleepy. I think we all would have understood it. Now I'm okay. Okay, let me read the mantra again. We are going to understand the concept of Ishvara in the next mantra. Okay. Tapasa chiyate brahma tato namabhijayate annat prano manasatyam lokah karma suchamritam. Tapasa chiyate brahma tato namabhijayate annat prano manasatyam lokah karma suchamritam. Okay. Just simply saying, there's a different way of presenting. We should not take this soul Christi Prakriya very seriously. It's not that there's no proper order. First comes this, first let in comes let. Not like that. What Upanishad wants to present is, says, everything, the entirety of the subtle aspects, the entirety of the gross, all beings of gross universe, all karmas, all results, all experiences, results of actions, everything has come into existence from Brahma. Which means Brahman is already endowed with the knowledge for projecting this universe. Therefore, that knowledge which is manifest, the manifest consciousness, the manifest knowledge involved in all the functions, backing the order, is looked upon as Ishvara. Okay, therefore the whole cosmos, everything is what? Manifestation of knowledge. There's nothing which is not manifestation of knowledge here. Like every opaque thing is reflection of light. Similarly, every object which enjoys the status of being existent in this universe, everything is elemental here. There's nothing which is not elemental. Every elemental product is what? Inert matter, material product. So everything and anything perceptible is inert material elemental product. Perceptible, experienceable, enjoyable, objective, the objects, the world of objects is nothing but elemental material products. And this is a thing, every product is what? The entirety of the products which constitute the universe is nothing but manifestation of the only reality. Only knowledge. Okay? To say that, it has its own style. So don't take it very seriously. Oh, Brahman bulges and then comes. Don't take it seriously. Okay? You're supposed to take anything seriously here. Tatparyam is what? What is actually implied here? Tatparyam is everything has come into existence from Brahma. Therefore, there's nothing which is not Brahman here. The Brahman is imperishable reality. Okay. Therefore, if the Jagat, everything has come into existence from Brahman means everything is effect, karyam. See, karma, karma phalani, all actions, right and wrong actions, and the respective results, punya papams, and the translations of punya papams in terms of experience of pairs of opposites, and the human beings who are blessed with the free will, and all the living beings, and the other beings, also before that also, subtle elements, gross elements, and everything, for everything which constitutes the whole universe is what? Karyam. Brahman is Karanam. Now what is next lesson, next step we should understand? If Jagat Karanam Brahma, Jagat is Karyam. Jagat Karanam is Brahma. Karyam, Jagat is what? Karyam. So between Brahman and Jagat, what is Sambandha? Karanakarya Sambandha. Cause-effect relationship. First we say that. Then, does effect have independent existence of its own? Definitely not. If effect does not have independent existence of its own, is it countable? No. Then what is it which has independent existence? Cause alone enjoys independent existence. Therefore, cause is non-different from the effect. Effect is non-separate from the cause. They're not, cause and effect are not two things, two independent factors. Effect is nothing but expression of the cause. Therefore, effect is mithya, cause alone is satyam. Therefore, when you say effect is nothing but cause, when you say there is no effect. If the effect is nothing but cause, when you say there is no effect. If there is no effect, then the cause also loses its status of being the cause. There is neither cause nor effect. Okay, first you say Jagat is Karanam, the Brahman is Karanam, Jagat is Karyam. Then between Jagat and Karanam, Jagat and Brahma, there is Karana Karya Sambandha. Because effect is Mithya, there is no independent existence. So we say the whole effect is the whole Jagat is Brahma. Therefore, Brahman is not the cause also. So Brahman, the causal status is attributed to Brahma. Really speaking, Brahman is neither the cause nor the effect. Brahman is neither the cause nor the effect. The whole Jagat is Brahma. What is only Brahma. This is the final lesson we need to arrive at. Why should we not make it so simple? Why should I simply using different terms and breaking our heads to understand each what each word sat, tyat, together form tat, satyam. That's a style. Okay? See, slowly we are helped to be with everything. Being with everything itself is what? Taking the attention from elsewhere, placing everything, the teaching becomes sat of upasana, meditation. We are not doing any, there's no cock and bull story here. Just being with how the teaching is presented. Everything is Brahma. All that is there is only Brahma. There's neither cause nor effect. Just this is the teaching really implied in this mantra. Okay. Tapasa chiyate Brahma. Tato namabhijayate. Annat prano manasatyam. Lokah karma suchamrutam. Very quickly, the teaching has been developed, because it's not mentioned. All beings are not mentioned. We have to separate and understand the teaching with the help of the Bhashya. The ninth mantra. Yes, sarvajna sar. Okay, before going to next mantra, let me ask you some questions. Is there any doubt in the previous mantra? Was it clear?
Swamiji, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
It's more to do with the chanting than. So when we chant it, we say, Tapasa chiyate brahma tato namabhijayate annat prano manasatyam. The satyam, right? Just want to understand why we put the satyam. We didn't say annat prano manaha. Because.
No. For everything comes one out the other. For the chanting, you have to say that way only.
We don't say satyam loka karma su chamritam. We don't put the satyam with the rest of the sentence.
No, you can just, this is our rule. You can put that way also. Annat prano manas satyam loka karma su chamritam. You don't need to break it. Tapasa chiyate brahma tato nama bhijayate. Annat prano manas satyam loka karma suchamritam. Annat prano manas satyam loka karma suchamritam. Yeah. There's no must. Any questions from anywhere? From anybody? Was it all right? Nod your heads. Say yes or no. It's okay.
Very good, Swamiji.
Okay. Because it's only verse, whole of Mundaka Upanishad, all the verses are so beautiful verses. All the mantras are very nice. It's only mantra, not bad mantra, not a wrong mantra. This is the style, okay? Completely different meanings for every word. Just to make us think, just be with the fact that nothing in the world has come from anywhere else other than Brahma. Come from anywhere else means nothing in the world has come from anywhere else other than Brahma means we should not think that from Brahma it has fallen, everything has fallen down. No. Come from Brahman means without the existence of Brahman, nothing in the world can have existence. Nothing in the world can exist independently. Whereas Brahman is not the absolute reality, Brahman is not dependent on anything in the world for its existence. Whereas right from time and space and all elements, elementals, all living beings, all the beings, all human beings, even human beings, this uniqueness such as self, not just self-existence, willpower, etc., and their actions, the choice of actions, the results of actions, and punya papam, or then punya papam, experience of punya papam in the form of pairs of opposites, pain and pleasure, etc. Everything is what? Is in, everything exists in Brahma. Even though Brahman is absolutely free from everything. That is the main lesson today. Is it clear? Okay. Next mantra, it's a nice mantra. Yes, sarvajna sarvavit. Yes, sarvajna sarvavit. Okay, I want to do bhashyam. Let me finish this and then I'll do the bhashyam and we'll enjoy it better. Yes, sarvajna sarvavit. Yes, jnanamayam tapaha. Yes, jnanamayam tapaha. Tasmadetad brahma nama rupamannam cha jayate. Yes, sarvajna sarvavit. Yes, jnanamayam tapaha. Tasmadetad brahma nama rupamannam cha jayate. Okay. So in the previous mantra, you heard the word tapas. Remember? The word tapas. When I read the following mantra, this previous mantra will become much clearer. Do you remember we heard the word tapas? The word tapas comes there. Again, tapasa chiyate brahma. Tapasa is the third case. Here, jnanamayam tapaha is there. So tapasa, third case, isn't it? So what is tapas? Tapasa chiyate brahma means Brahman expands. You say Brahman expands, tapasa chiyate. What is tapas? Tapas is nothing but jnanamayaha. The tapas is nothing but jnanamayam tapaha. Knowledge is tapas. Brahman expands means what? Knowledge becoming manifest is expanding. Okay? Knowledge becoming manifest is expanding. There's no real expansion. Knowledge, the pure knowledge becoming manifest alone is said to be expanding. For tapasa brahma chiyate, there is expansion of Brahman. The Brahman cannot expand. So tapas, it's not, what is this word tapas? Tapas means nothing but knowledge. Jnanamayam tapaha. So the previous mantra will become much clearer when we do this following mantra. Yes, sarvajna sarvavit. Yes, jnanamayam tapaha. Tasmadetad brahma nama. Rupamannam cha jayate. Okay. Yasi jnanamayam tapaha. Whose tapas is nothing but knowledge. Who is this? You have to understand Ishvara. Who is Ishvara? The pure knowledge is implied by the term Brahma. The knowledge manifest is given the qualification of Ishvara. Let me tell you again, Ishvaraha is a qualification attributed to the manifest knowledge. The knowledge manifest, consciousness manifest is given the qualification of Ishvara. The pure knowledge before manifestation is what is implied by the term Brahman or Atma. There is a pure knowledge, there is manifest knowledge. There is pure consciousness, there is manifest consciousness. Are there two knowledges? Are there two factors like manifest knowledge and pure knowledge, pure consciousness and manifest consciousness? No. What is only consciousness. The only consciousness is looked upon as manifest consciousness or manifest knowledge in the presence of thoughts. If the thoughts, if the mind, in the presence of the mind, in the presence of the thoughts, consciousness is looked upon as manifest consciousness. There's no mind, no thoughts, consciousness is pure consciousness. Only consciousness. Let me tell you again. See, your face is there. We talk about real original face and reflected face. Are there two faces? Original face and reflected face means what? In the presence of the mirror, okay? In the presence of the mirror in front of your face, there is reflected face. The mirror is not there. It's only original face. Original face with the mirror is what? Reflected face. Original face minus mirror is what? Original face. We don't have two faces. Original face and reflected face are not two different faces. Is it clear? Original face and reflected face are not two different faces. The only face alone is said to be original face from the standpoint of the reflected face seen in the mirror. This only face alone is looked upon as the reflected face when there is mirror, in the presence of the mirror. Is it clear? Similarly, the only consciousness in the presence of the mind is given, known as what? Manifest consciousness. In the presence of the world is given the known manifest consciousness. When the mind is not there, we say what is there is pure consciousness. We don't have two consciousnesses, okay? Two knowledges. What is just only consciousness. The pure and manifest are qualifications attributed simply from the standpoint of the manifest. Otherwise, it's only just the consciousness. Therefore, here, the consciousness manifests, the totality of knowledge manifest is given. The manifest knowledge, manifest consciousness is given the qualification of Ishvara. So Ishvara is a qualification attributed to consciousness, Brahman or Atma when it is manifest. Ishvara. Is it clear now what is Ishvara? Okay. And this, when the best manifestation of knowledge means any knowledge of anything is not outside of this manifest knowledge. Is it clear now? Whether knowledge of computer, knowledge of plant, knowledge of any discipline, knowledge of anything and everything in any discipline. Abundance, okay? Knowledge of anything in every field. Medicine, engineering, mathematics, geology, biology, physics, chemistry, shastra, anything, knowledge of anything and everything is what? Any knowledge is, no knowledge is outside of manifestation of knowledge. There were no knowledges outside of Ishvara. Therefore, the only source of all knowledge of all disciplines is Ishvara. Is it clear? Therefore, we use the term Sarvajnaha. Where is all knowledge? Suppose whoever says, I know this, I know this, I know this. Any knowledge obtaining in any mind is not out, nothing but manifestation of knowledge. The manifestation of knowledge is Ishvara. Therefore, all knowledge is Ishvara. All knowledge is Ishvara. Therefore, Sarvajnaha, Sarvam Janati Iti Sarvajnaha. The one who knows everything is Ishvara. All knowing, omniscient is the Lord. Is it clear now? The absolute source of all knowledge is pure consciousness, Brahma. The pure consciousness manifest is what? The total manifestation of knowledge is Ishvara. And any knowledge is not outside of Ishvara, therefore any knowledge is Ishvara. Ishvara is all-knowing, omniscient, sarvajna. Don't worry, I'll continue next class. Sarvajna only I have said. Vakit sarvajna, sarvavite I have explained yet. So Bhagavan is sarvajna, omniscient, all-knowing. And who is Bhagavan? Ishvara. Who is Ishvara? There is no Ishvara other than the truth, reality, Brahma. You have to understand the whole Jagat is knowledge. Next step, I have to teach you this. Was it all right? I have taught you only today Sarvajna. Next week, I'll continue with Sarvavit and all that. If any doubts you have, please ask me. I'll continue with this mantra next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.